Welcome to Surviving Life with the Van Billies. You hang out with myself, Daddy Van Billy. And yes, Lady V is not in the building. I know you guys have missed her and you're wondering, where is she? Just know that she will be back. She is fine. She's just handling some Van Billy business and then she'll be back. Yeah, if you know, if you don't know, you can ask somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, we are really going to go deep today. We're going to go deep and speak about how the Lord called me into ministry. For those of you who tuned in yesterday, you know, we touched on it. And we also did the same the previous week where we focused more on Lady V and how the Lord had called her into ministry. Now, we're doing this because we know that some of you are called and you're dodging. You've got all kinds of reasons. God, it's not me. You know, I've made mistakes. I'm too short. I stutter. We've heard them all and they're all recorded in scripture. But guess what? The Lord is not changing his mind about you. The Lord is serious about you. And yeah, you can ask some of us. Hey, we've tried. We've tried to mess up. We've tried to run, but we're still here. So I hope you're ready. Today we find out how the Lord called Danny Van Billy into ministry. You're in the show, Surviving Life with the Van Billies. You hang out with Danny Van Billy. My wife Letitia is not in today, but we are focusing today on my journey to coming to the Lord. If you tuned in yesterday, you would have heard the both of us discussing just how the Lord called me into ministry. Now, I am having this convo and I'm going to be as vulnerable as I can be, because I know that the journey of being called is not simple. It's not what we think it is. And I think growing up, I would read about people like Moses and I wouldn't understand. Like, but Moses, this is God calling you. You know, you should just be able to accept, because you know God is God and God can do everything. But when my own turn came, I found myself being a Moses. You know, so mine started like this. I was in high school. A friend of mine actually tricked me into going to church. I was not about church, okay? And this is partly because we'd gone to a church. You know, it was more of like a Catholic church growing up. And, you know, the priest would stand and smoke after church, you know, which for me, I found a bit weird. And then I'd hear the aunties there gossiping after church. And I'll think, but, you know, isn't that, you know, things we shouldn't do? I'll look around me and it almost felt like church was something that happened inside the Bible, you know? What I mean by that, it was like the miracles happened in the Bible. You read about the parting of the Red Sea and all of that. And then when you got up and you looked up, it was like that God didn't exist anymore. Those things were not happening anymore. So I remember at some point just really deciding that I am not going to church, you know, and it was really a final decision and I stopped going to church. So at the age of 17, I remember really beginning to question a lot. I was that guy at school, the popular guy, we're very naughty, we're having the time of our lives, but it became empty. It was really becoming empty. You know, we're now experiencing your people just being there for what they could benefit from you. And a couple of times my friend and I would ask ourselves, like, but what if there really is a God, you know, and what that would mean for the lifestyle we're living, you know? So someone invited him to Bethesda, which was a church in the city center. He went, he got saved. Now he knew there was just no way he was going to get me to church. So he made me believe on this one Friday evening, we were going to a party. So Daddy Van Billy was dressed My sister had just come back from the States at that time. She bought us all the new brands, and you know, it was just, I was excited to go to this party and show off. All right, you know, when you're young and you've got the new shoes, the Sean John jackets and all of that. But to cut a long story short, he then turned around and told me, "Look, bro, we're not going to a party. We are going to church." Boy, oh boy, I blew a gasket, okay? I blew a gasket. I could not. I remember telling him, like, "Dude, how can you have me all dressed up in my best this, my best that, just to take me to church?" And I tried to walk out the door, but instead of walking out the door, I walked into the wall. And I remember as I bumped my head very hard and fell. But as I was falling, every time I'd ever asked God if he was real, flashed in front of me, you know, and that was the first. I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on? I got out from the floor, ran to the kitchen, put ice in a bag, put it against my head. And I was like, "Brother, let's go to church before you church people kill me." And that is the way God got me back to church. That's my testimony. And that's how it started. So from that point, there were a few things that happened, which I'll share with you as I share my testimony of how I accepted my calling and went back to the Lord. Natalie Grant with Corey Asbury, "You Will Be Found." You hang out with Daniel Van Billy, and I am just sharing my testimony of how I'd come to the Lord. I just want to clarify something, you know, just so that we all on the same page. I didn't mention the church I was in when I'd seen certain things that I did not like. That does not mean that that particular church group is wrong. I'm just sharing where I was, you know. And this is it. I mean, there's someone right now in the Pentecostal church who is still, who's not found the Lord. You know, you could be, it could be any church you're in. But in my particular case, that's just the church and denomination I was in when I decided to walk away from Christianity. So it's not a reflection on the church. It was where I was as a person. And I just want to clarify that, so that if there's anyone listening from that particular denomination, that they don't think, "Oh, Danny was picking on us," and I've gotten a message. I just wanted to clarify that. All right, so there was about 17, I'm taken back to church, and I'm really in a space in my life where I experience God for the very first time, you know, and it was very miraculous. And for those who know me, especially the friends I grew up with, you know, I remember once picking up a friend. we picked her up. She hadn't seen me for years, and she heard we're going to church, and she was just shocked, like, "Not Danny," you know, because Danny was associated with parties. Danny was just associated with debauchery. Danny was not associated with godliness. And I think it was hard for anyone to perceive that, you know, the Lord will choose to call someone like me. So I finished my matric, went and was studying law. And I'll never forget this, way just one day while studying, I was on a fast, and the Lord told me, "Look, you think your mouth is for law, but can I actually show you what I designed you for?" You know, and I thought, man, this is weird. Like, my mouth is for arguing. I love winning arguments, you know. And but out of obedience, I packed my life, and within a month, I'd found myself in America, and working with the special needs community. And this is really the season in my life where the Lord began to talk to me and, you know, began to really set me apart in a way that changed me and changed the course of my life. So when I come back, I'm going to just go in on that and begin to share, because, you know, I know there's someone listening right now where maybe you've also disqualified yourself and you just think, you know, I'm not good enough to be used by God. And, you know, you see God using other people. I could see God using anybody but me. But hey, here I am today, and I'm just sharing my testimony in hopes that others like me will be encouraged, you know, to actually embrace what the Lord is saying He wants to do through you. So stay tuned. A quick song by The Edge. It's called All My Praise. This is The Edge. You are on Surviving Life with the Van Villies. Mr. V standing in. My lovely wife is not in the building today, but oh, you know, she's amazing. She's here technically because she's always on my heart. All right, so I'm telling you my testimony, how I came to the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. Next thing you knew, I was in America, and yeah, it was like the most confusing time of my life. Let me explain it to you this way. I loved the Lord with all my heart. I loved scripture. I loved everything it stood for. But at the same time, I loved to party. Okay. It was so bad that my partying was sponsored when I lived in America. So the local club literally said to me, listen, you just show up, okay? Because you show up with the party, so we will sponsor your drinking. We would, whatever you want is on the house. Just show up so we have a good time. So there I am. In the evenings, every other night, we're out partying. But on the other hand, at the camp where we lived, I would always be playing worship, you know, but playing it out loud. I was very outspoken. I loved Hillsong. I loved Christian hip hop, you know. So all these young people from all over were people from maybe 20 different countries, you know. So as people heard the worship coming out from my cabin, you know, every day someone will show up, you know. And before you knew it, we started like a Christian movement where we would gather, we would pray together. And, you know, now it began to bother me. You know, like, but Danny, you love the Lord on the one hand, and but on the other hand, you are the world, man. You love the world. So what do you do? How do you give up the one life for the other, you know? And would Christianity not be boring for your personality? And That was really something that always stuck to me, because I just looked at what I knew Christianity to be, even at that time, and it didn't speak to me at that age. So I would always tell the Lord, I'm like, Lord, you know, I want to experience the Bible God, you know, not a figment of my imagination. I don't want to pretend that you're doing things when you're not doing it. I don't want to go to a doctor and he operates me, and then I just say, thank you, God. No, if the doctor's done it, I want to thank the doctor. You know, I can thank God for giving us doctors, but I honestly did not want to pretend things are miracle when they are not. And I felt I'd seen a lot of that in the church, and I just didn't want to participate because I felt it would influence my faith and I would backslide. So the Lord came to me one day and said to me, Danny, your whole time in America, I want to show you that I can take care of you. So do not take your salary. Every month end, I do not want you to touch a single cent of the money you make in America. And let's see if I cannot take care of you. Now, of course, that was like, okay, now this this is getting interesting, all right? I accepted, and when I come back, I'll tell you what happened from that point. Stay tuned. You still hang out with Mr. Vambilly on Surviving Life with the Vambillys. You know, I'm sharing my testimony of just how the Lord called me back into Himself. Someone sent me such a funny message. She said, "Hello, Daddy. I'm so glad that God bumped you back into church. You and your wife are so inspirational and encouraging and a wonderful example of God's children. Thank you both for a wonderful show on radio." Thank you. Thank you. I was literally bumped back into church for those of you who tuned in earlier. So when the Lord told me to not use my money anymore and to depend on Him, you know, it really sounded crazy because I'm in a different country. My mom's not down the road. I can't go down to my sister's house to eat. You know, if I don't have money, how do I pull through? But wow, oh wow, when I really trusted the Lord and I told the camp that I won't be receiving my payments every month, and I'd rather take it all at the end of camp. It's like the doors of heaven opened and I started getting tips that did not make sense. Like, would get tips for like $1,000. And I remember one of the guys who'd been there for a long time saying to me, "Danny, this, I've not seen this before. I've been here. I've worked here for a long time. It just doesn't happen." You know, the kinds of tips we would get as a collective and also individually. And sometimes we would have very difficult situations where God would just give me wisdom and favor, and those situations would be solved. And yeah, this led to me literally for the whole time that I was there, never touching my salary and just seeing God provide for me financially, and then also open doors in ways I couldn't plan. The one night we'd gone out to the local pub and we're just hanging out, and a director approached me, asked me if I could be part of a movie, you know? And I just thought, "No, man, you guys are probably doing something illegal, or pornography or something bad, so I don't want to be involved." They literally had to convince me that they were legit, because it was just, you know, when there are things, desires of your heart that you've not shared with anybody. At that time in my life, I did want to act, but what are the chances that I'd be somewhere in Hunter, New York, and a director and his crew would be there, and I'll just be offered my first role? You know, and it was really mind-blowing. And these kinds of things kept happening as I kept trusting the Lord. He would tell me things and they would happen. You know, so you can imagine that those kinds of miracles really cemented for me that the Lord was serious and He was calling me. But there was one more special thing that happened that I'll share after this, and that is what convinced me and allowed me to accept and become a full-time born-again Christian. Not part-time, full-time. Sharing my testimony and just connecting with you guys wherever you are, however you're feeling about the calling on your life. There was once a Danny Vambilly who did not believe he could be called, who just felt he was too dirty for God's hand or God's work. But, you know, I saw God's calling vividly when I was in Miami. And at this point, we were on a road trip. We traveled from New York to Canada, all the way down to Miami, the opposite side, Washington, D.C. We were just really getting to see America. But the deeper thing that was happening in me was the Lord was telling me He's called me for ministry. So I told Him, I'm like, "Lord, I'm in a country where no one knows me. I love Your word, but I don't want to just, you know, force matters and, you know, just take myself into, you know, being a pastor or something, you know, when because I love your word. I want to know that you've called me. And if you've really called me, then let it happen in a way that I cannot orchestrate, you know. Let me be put on the pulpit here in a country where no one knows me, and then at least I'd be convinced that it's you and not me calling myself. So we were in Miami. We stayed with a family there. Unbeknown to me, their mother was the youth pastor. And she just said to me, "Danny, the Lord's told me you're preaching tomorrow at our church." It was a Korean church. So the first church I preached in was a Korean church, okay? And I remember just sharing that day, and I felt God had cheated. I was like, "Lord, maybe you caused me to actually ask you to preach in America, knowing where I'm going next." I just felt like God had more information than I did. So my next deal was, I'm not going to prepare anything, and the Lord had to speak through me. And beloved, you would not believe, that day, without preparing, the Lord really, really spoke to me so deeply and kept telling me what everyone was doing. It was so bad that the pastors and them had to be interrogated afterwards because the church thought that their pastor used social media to tell me what they were all were doing and maybe showed me their pictures. And it was just, yeah, it was very dramatic at the end of the day. But I knew for sure that their pastor had not told me any of their private business. And it could only have been the Lord speaking through me, because I didn't live in Miami. I didn't know anyone's business. And that is how I accepted and knew indeed the Lord had called me. After this hour, I want to hear some of your testimonies, but I'll also share some more. If you guys don't send me voice notes, if there's a way the Lord called you, or maybe you disqualified yourself, but you know, today you sing and living something different, do share with me. Planet Shakers, greater. I believe they're shaking the world wherever they are down under. Hey, Planet Shakers, hope you tuned in. This is Impact Radio. We are the best Christian radio station in South Africa. I'm sure there's a lot of South Africans tuning in from Australia. We love you guys. And yeah, we're still waiting for you. Your houses are ready and your load shedding, okay? We're keeping you your portion of load shedding. We're not gonna, you left us in load shedding, guys. Please come get your portion. We will send it to you. Send us your addresses via mail, whatever works. You're with Mr. Van Billy, always having a good time. It's time to take a look at your testimonies. Lufuno said, "Blessed morning, thanks for clarity. Because of my experience, says that bad stewardship is rampant regardless of denominations. Thanks for sharing your testimony. I'm truly encouraged. For me to note that such experiences are banners of testimony and not shame. I was the only child saved in my household and clan, and instead of support, it was like I was being persecuted. I was this powerful little disciple of the Lord. I started rejecting the Lord and living anyhow with the hope that he'll leave me alone in a way. I wished myself dead. To my surprise, he didn't actually. I clearly heard the Lord in my mouth telling me that if I do not change my ways, he'll kill me himself." Yeah, Lufuno, I'm sure that woke you up. She says, "That got my attention, and I paved the way, or it paved the way to the relationship we have today. It's not perfect, but progressive. Shalom." Yeah, Lufuno, I know when I changed my path, and you can just imagine, my family knew this guy is going in and he's going to become a lawyer. The next thing he's like, "No, I want to serve the Lord." Some family members thought I was bewitched. Mm-hmm. They thought I was bewitched. It was really a very interesting dilemma where you're saying, I feel called to be a pastor, And people are like, this guy's bewitched. Go back and study law. But, you know, all is well that ends well. I've got the support of my family now. In fact, they are my number one supporters. So I encourage everyone who is in those difficult times to hang in there. Elizabeth said, good afternoon. My name is Elizabeth Masimula. I heard the Lord Jesus speaking to me. I was newly born again and was afraid to do what he assigned me to do. May you kindly pray that the spirit of the enemy leaves my life. Another issue is anger, but the Lord has been gracious to me as he continues to correct me. I personally asked for his favor to clothe and surrender wholeheartedly in Jesus' name. Lufuno, I'm going to give you advice I wish someone gave me when I was newly born again. You know, the spiritual issues that you're saying, the enemy leaves your life. I believe that when Christians get saved, we emphasize the change so much that we don't tell people to do the work. You know, and what I mean by that is this: God has saved you, your spirit is sorted. You know, but this thing called the flesh and these generational things that are in the bloodline, we have to face them head on and really deal with them before they deal with us. You know, we see so many Christians repeating the sins of the fathers and generational curses because of that gospel of just, hey, you know, you're safe now, everything is good. If everything is good, which they are in terms of the spirit, you know, scriptures would not encourage us to walk worthy of our calling. You know, those kinds of scriptures that are saying working out your faith, you know, they are encouraging us to really face these difficult things that could be in your bloodline and that could be fighting you. So find a good church that will ground you. If you need deliverance, get deliverance, get delivered. Don't think, hey, I'm too good for it. No, all of us the Lord has used, we've been delivered from one thing or another. So don't be ashamed to ask for help. Don't be ashamed to do what you need to do to walk out your salvation. Stay tuned, everybody. You're with Mr. Van Billy. Would love to hear your testimonies. And I'll also share one or two things that made a big difference in my life when I come back. Sanctus Real, how many times? You know, I love God's grace. Yeah, it truly show up for me. If not for God's grace, where would any of us be? You know, but it's even more beautiful when God's grace teaches you how to say no. You know, that is the key thing, you know, where the grace empowers you and grows you to a point where you can say no, and you can actually stand on not just scripture, but your convictions. You know, I love the word conviction, because to be convicted, you need evidence, you know, and if we bring evidence to court, they will use that to give you a conviction, and that will turn you into a convict. Then you can say you are convicted. So I feel the same with scripture. If you're not convinced about God, if you're not convinced about his calling, oh man, you will just, yeah, you'll be there, but you're not there. You'll believe, but you don't really believe, you know. You'll do it for your parents, you do it for your church, or your church club. You know, I'm putting that in inverted commas, because sometimes we reach a place where because we're surrounded by certain people, we find ourselves doing the same things. Now, for me, in my journey, in my testimony, what was really important was learning God in my highs and learning God in my lows. And knowing that, unlike the people around us, the Lord is not just here for the good times. He's here for the bad times. He is here to walk you through your transformation, no matter what that looks like, because it doesn't look the same for all of us. You know, some of us have things we have to overcome that are generational. Others, it's our personal decisions. And, you know, some of us are just hard-headed. It's like having two children. I've got children, and their personalities are so different. There's the one who you can just talk to, and, oh, wow, she's a negotiator. My daughter will negotiate you into a deal. And where you just like, no, man. I mean, yesterday she came up to me. She was like, Dad, I need to ask you something. And if I get it right, then you must do whatever I say for 24 hours. I told her, girl, that's the worst, like, deal you can put on the table. She said, well, if you don't want it, then I'll bite you. I was like, but that's even worse. There's no good deal there on that table, you know. So with her, I can negotiate, we can talk, and if it makes sense, she'll do it. She's committed. My son, on the other hand, it's a different ball game. You need to use the dad voice, like, you know, that voice. Yes, that's the only thing that works. Yeah, so I wonder what it's like for the Lord dealing with all of us. There's billions of us walking around this planet, and we think different, we hear different, we are raised different, we're dealing with different traumas, we're dealing with different backgrounds. Some of us find ourselves in churches that have done more damage than good. You know, so it's really hard to even begin to calculate or estimate how God or what God deals with his own children, which is all of us. So be patient with yourself. Walk your journey. What I mean by that is, if you make mistakes along the way, don't delete yourself. Because for me, I feel that is the hardest thing, you know, to keep going on, you know, when you've fallen short, when maybe you've made the wrong decisions and all of that. So don't give up on yourself. Allow God to be the one leading you. Mr. Van Billy, almost about to be out of your way, but I gave away tickets. Some people tonight will be hanging out with Erica Campbell. Let's play you a song. Not by Erica Campbell, but Shackles. Are you telling us about a birthday? Where is the cake, guys? I am joking. Dear sister, happy birthday. I really hope the Lord blesses you. And not just blesses you, man. May he surprise you. You know, the first time I asked God to surprise me, this was like actually just after I got saved. And I was at school. I thought school was boring and I really wanted something more. So the Holy Spirit just told me, be ready after school. Yeah, so I thought, okay, after school. What could possibly happen after school? After school, my sister shows up. She was like, we're taking you to Joburg. There's something. I think they're looking for you. And, you know, we rushed home. I'm changing clothes. I had a casting. Next thing, I became the face for Celtel, which was like is an international cellular network. And I won't even tell you how much I got paid. But wow. For my first salary at 17, yeah, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So when I'm saying may God surprise you, that's exactly what I'm saying. May God truly surprise you. As I shared my testimony today, my aim was to encourage us. Don't accept less. You know, don't just think, you know, God is just, I don't know, sitting up there somewhere, feeding the poor in Africa. You know how we speak of God like he's in the middle of a war somewhere, you know. But No, God cares for us. He's here with us. And yes, we are in Africa, for those of you who don't know. And this God is able to do above and beyond what you can think or imagine. I want to challenge you to challenge him, you know, to say, like, Father, I'm here, I'm available, you know. Show me what you can do. I said to you guys earlier that one of my first testimonies was on my way back. I'd missed my flight. You know, I'd gone out. Dude, I was in New York, okay? So I wasn't just going to catch my flight. Went to the Statue of Liberty, came there very early. We just had a full day. But it led to us arriving at the airport an hour before time. And for international flights, that was late. So there I was, missed my flight, supposed to be flying to England. And I asked the Lord, what do I do? And the Lord told me, I'll pay for your flight. I thought, what? Aren't you in heaven out there somewhere, you know, worried about more important things? And how do you even pay for a flight, you know? It was shocking. But I went to the counter and they gave me the bill. And I remember at that time it was something like $500. They're like, okay, that's what you're going to need to pay. And I went, I had to do my visas and then come back to the table where I was meant to make the payment. And when I came back to pay, the same lady who told me, you know, the amounts and what I'll have to pay and made sure I agreed to it before accepting, suddenly told me it was paid. And I remember just looking at her like, what do you mean? Like, you told me to go there and come back to pay. And it was paid, guys. I got on the flight. And I won't forget this. Just halfway through the ocean, when you're just in the middle, I asked myself, I was like, oh my goodness, what if they do the taxi thing? You know, the taxi way, they start looking for who did not pay. And I thought, oh man, they're going to just throw me off into the ocean with a lifeboat. But, you know, that was just a young mind. And yeah, from that day onwards, I've learned that there is no limit to what God can do. Beloved, I think I should write a book one day called Testimonies. Because the Lord is able to do above and beyond what you can think or imagine. I've seen him pay school fees. I've seen him buy houses. I've seen him, literally, I've had a stranger give me a car. And it's happened a couple of times. You know, I've experienced the miracle God that we read about in the Bible. So if you are listening right now, I don't know where you're listening from, and you're trusting God for a miracle, I want, when I come back for my final link, we're just going to pray. Let's pray and trust God to be who He is. Enjoy this song, King Music featuring Kaz.
Let grace come alive on Impact 103.
Mr. Van Belle, about to say goodbye. Yeah, it's always the hardest parts of the show. I was vulnerable with you guys today. I hope you're vulnerable with me too, wherever you are sitting. I enjoyed the messages. And I see someone just said, yeah, thanks, Danny, for the word of encouragement. I'm trusting God for me to complete my studies. It's been 9 years with lots of delays. My results are still outstanding. I'm even asking God if He called me to study further. Please pray with me for courage. I will. I'll pray with you for courage. May God really give you that strength. Yo, delays in education. Yeah, they need extra breath, right? You know, it's like when you're racing and you think you've reached the end and then there's just another lap. So we're going to pray for you, sis. You can't give up. You have to go for it. Jermaine, amen. I know God is about to bless me with wisdom and is going to send the right people my way to start a business because I have needs. and I'm the head and not the tail. I don't know what you meant to say that as a bit of a thing. As crazy as it sounds, I know God is going to bless me so much that I'll be buying a house without a bond. Jermaine, can I share with you? That's how I bought my house, without a bond. And that was exactly the word God gave me. Trust me to buy a house without a bond. And it's not that there wasn't a bond involved, but it's just the way the Lord brought the right person for me, and I could make arrangements and buy without a bond. So yes, I agree with you, Jermaine. Trust the Lord and go for it. Beloved, let us quickly pray. Father, we thank you that there are people who are listening, who are trusting you for a house. Lord, make a way for them. You made a way for me and my wife and my family. Lord, you've made a way for so many people we know who went out by faith, who we encourage to go out by faith, and you came through for them. Lord, we pray that you'll come through for anyone listening today who might be afraid to even make that first step. Give them the boldness to take the first step. Lord, for those who are studying and are struggling to finish off their payments, Lord, give them favor. Lord, even if it means that they'll get those papers with the outstanding amounts they might owe universities, Lord, give them the boldness to go and negotiate with those universities. Last but not least, Lord, we want to pray for those who lost jobs during this time. Be their provider. Lord, you are able to provide. Stretch them in their faith and let them go out in boldness and in faith. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all said, Amen. Beloved, it's been absolutely amazing hang out with you, hearing from you guys. And I don't know what else I would do with my life. I love radio. I know I'm in business and I'm in all the other stuff, but just love radio and love sharing God's word with you. For those of you who missed us last night, you can tune in next week from 6 till 6:30 when we have the first part of the show where we introduce the topic. It's a 30-minute show. We just go into the facts. Today is the day we come back from 11 till 1 on a Wednesday. That's when we make sure we discuss what was shared the night before. And then on Mondays from 11 to 1, you can catch my wife. Oh, maybe I'll be standing in for her on Soul Circle. You're with the Vambellis. Goodbye.